You're listening to Neurodiversity at Work.
My homie told me that when people rise up against you, it's a sign of your destiny real. Fake ones been hating cause they know that one day you're making it. Jealousy's all they can feel. Plug in the phone, drift in my zone. Pain in the future when thinking alone. About when I'm grown, already blown. How'd I get blessed with this beautiful home? You were the sight, beautiful life. Beautiful sex, my husband and wife. Beautiful children, people who wanna come kill me because I'm expressing my rights. Kill me because I'm expressing my rights. Kill me because I'm expressing my rights.
Today's episode is sponsored by Udda. Udda is a HR tech consulting, advisory and services business. Their mission is to improve the HR tech industry for everyone. They work with vendors to help them build products that solve real-world problems, and they work with buyers to help them make better purchasing decisions. They are also advocates for neurodiversity at work. Today on the podcast, I have the pleasure of being joined by Christos, who's head of people and culture at Auto Trader. Now, if you've not noticed, they've been doing some incredible work around neurodiversity. They were the first organization globally to be recognized by the National Autistic Society as an autism-friendly organization, and they've worked it from the ground up. You're going to really enjoy this podcast. Hi, Christos. Welcome to the podcast. So pleased to have you on. Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience? Let them know who you are, what you do.
Sure. Hello, everybody. I'm Christos Sapronis, and I'm the head of people and culture here at Auto Trader UK.
Wonderful. And Christos, just, I've come across you and the work that you do at Auto Trader because a couple of people have recommended you to me. But also, I've read a lot of the wonderful things that you've been doing here at Auto Trader, specifically around neurodiversity. What does neurodiversity mean to you? How have you come about doing some of the great initiatives and work that you've been doing here?
It's one of the areas that we focus when it comes to diversity and inclusion. Neurodiversity is one of the key focuses that we've been having for the past 2.5 years. For us, our overall diversity and inclusion strategy, it has it's a very comprehensive, a very deliberate strategy that we have. The way that we grow it is organically. It's based on the needs of our people and the needs of the business. We started with concentrating on certain areas, and as more people are passionate about certain areas, the need comes up, that's how organically it grows. With neurodiversity, it's been a very interesting journey. We've always had neurodiverse people that we employed. And when it comes to one of the most common ones that we were aware of were our dyslexic people, where we were had more people that were open about that. And we were able to put things in place in order to support them, but also give them the chance to talk openly about it and share their experiences and get them involved in making Auto Trader a better place to work for dyslexic people. With autism, it is an interesting story that we have that it came about by one manager that had an autistic employee in their team. And that was doing really well, and the manager just wanted more information, more support in order to be able to support their employee. They had a really good relationship between them, but I guess like a lot of people, they were not really aware about autism, and autism being such a complex thing as well, the manager never experienced it before, so naturally they didn't have a lot of awareness. So that's how it started. So they came to the people team, they came to me and said, I described the situation, and I wasn't really that much better informed than them. So I said, well, we'll have to go and find out more about it and really work with our colleague who was autistic as well. So that's when I first made contact with the National Autistic Society, which is a very well respected charity doing a lot of great work And that's how it all started. So, you know, going back to your original question, it has been a very organic approach, but with a lot of thought behind it, a lot of care behind it as well in the past 2.5 years.
That's fascinating. So actually, it's happened organically from the ground up, which is wonderful, and you've embraced it. How has that relationship evolved then with the National Autistic Society? Because, I mean, you can tell our audience what you've gone on to do there, but it's more than just a call to ask for help. Actually, you've taken it many more steps further forwards with that. Tell us about some of the great things that you've been implementing.
It did, yes. Yeah. So it started with a call, and one of the first things that the National Autistic Society offered to us was a workshop that they had, which was managing autistic people, and it was for managers designed for them, and they came and delivered it to a group of managers that were interested, either because they had an autistic person in their team, or they had a particular interest, some of them because they might have autistic people in their family. So we offered it more widely because there were places available so that we could educate some managers that might in the future have an autistic colleague in their teams. So our managers gave fantastic feedback. They actually, and this has been a theme throughout our work with the National Autistic Society, a lot of the things that they were suggesting could potentially be supportive for autistic people.
Yeah.
And our managers, and this is what I've discovered myself, realized that this would be good for everyone. Why wouldn't everyone sort of like want to follow this approach? Or a lot of the things, although they were suggested that were designed for autistic people, it actually ends up that it's a great thing to have for everyone. So we did that, and then shortly after that, the National Autistic Society reached out to us again, and they said that they are launching the Autism Friendly Award for employers, which was a standard that employers would aspire to in order to make their workplaces friendly for autistic people.
Yeah.
So we reviewed what that would entail. We were very clear from the beginning that this was not a tick box exercise. This was not a case of them getting an award just for their recognition and the PR side of it at all. We wanted to make sure that if we were going to commit to it, we were able to invest the time and the resources in actually doing it. And we made the decision with the senior leadership team that this is something that would be beneficial for our business at the moment, but also for the future of our business. And we decided to go for it. And the outcome was that we became the first company in the world to become autism friendly.
That's such an achievement. And you must be so proud from taking something that started organically and taking it so far that you get to the point of where you're recognised for the incredible work you're doing. And some of that work, I appreciate just walking into the building and the name of the building being on the building. And I mean, you can explain some more around the things that you've done, but sometimes it's nerve-wracking for anybody to try and find their way into a building. And sometimes going into reception can be daunting. And I can see that some of the simple good things that you've put in place here that just make it so much nicer for everybody. So yeah, just tell us some more about some of those things that you've implemented.
Yeah, it's something that we're really proud. I'm particularly really proud because everyone that has been involved in this initiative, both from the National Autistic Society and Auto Trader, but also our building as well, have been brilliant in embracing all the changes, embracing all the feedback, and working constantly, even till now, it's a continuous thing in order to improve things. So as part of the audit, there were three main areas that the National Autistic Society concentrated on: doing an environmental audit of our building, both our building in Manchester and London. We were very lucky with the London office because we're going through a refurb of the London office at the same time, so they were even able to consult on the design of the refurb, which was great timing. Then the second part was a review of all our people policies and people processes. And then the third part was the education, not only of our managers and our leaders, but also of our wider workforce, so that everyone becomes more autism aware. And so, yet the audit resulted in about 50, 60 recommendations that we needed to work on before we actually achieve the accreditation. And to give you a flavor of those changes, a lot of them were around the signposting of the building to get to our building. Our building didn't have a name outside, which I'm glad you noticed now that there is a name, and that was making it difficult for people to find it. There was no signage by the lifts of what floor, which company is based on which floor, because we are sharing the building with two more businesses. So, and even between the floors, if you use the stairs, there wasn't signposting again. So all these things came out of the audit for the National Autistic Society. So not everything that we did was this major sort of like restructuring of the building project that required thousands and thousands of pounds. A lot of the suggestions make the building more accessible, more user-friendly for everybody, really, although originally it was designed with autistic people in mind. So we see a lot of people giving us feedback of that, irrespective of really whether they're autistic or not. A lot of the things on our policies was very interesting, the feedback that we received, because again, when we were reviewing them, all the suggestions that came back made real sense. There's really no other way to describe it. So we just realized, yes, why wouldn't you phrase something like that? It actually is a lot more clear to rephrase it like that. So that work was very interesting. I think it improved a lot of our policies and processes. And when it comes to the education of our people, again, it was really embraced by our people. All the workshops that we offered, all the different things that we shared on our intranet, the posters that we created. So we try to use a blended method of increasing awareness and developing our people. Everything was embraced. A lot of people became more confident about sharing their personal stories about being autistic or neurodiverse, and it created that environment of people being more open, more honest. One story that I think is very important to share is there was a member of our workforce that had visited at the time their GP, and they were told that they have all the traits of an autistic person, but there's no point of signposting them or referring them for a diagnosis, because that would take at the time in Manchester 4 to 5 years. So they said there's no point, you'll be waiting forever. And it was something that, after careful consideration with obviously the person leading that, we managed to get them that diagnosis privately, because it's something that they wanted for themselves. It's not something that as auto trader we require in order to offer any additional adjustments or support or anything. We don't need a doctor's note or formal diagnosis in cases like that, because usually we can offer the support if the person knows what support they require. Many times it happens at the recruitment stage that a lot of the candidates would tell us about the support that they need. We never ask for proof, obviously, of a diagnosis. We would just offer them that support based on trusting people.
I think that's really important, not to assume that you need a diagnosis, because this is better for everybody. Okay, everyone will have different needs, but the fact that you've gone to support somebody to get that diagnosis, which for some people is really important, that can have a massive impact on their mental health and well-being. And not being able to get a diagnosis, I've been there sat in front of a GP who just doesn't understand it, It can impact you in so many ways. For me, that is just a sign of an organisation that truly gets it and is willing to support it, which I just think is incredible. So hats off for taking that decision. Not every organisation can do it, but I think it just really shows why you're where you are and what you've been achieving, which is fantastic. What would you say to other organisations now who are about to go on this journey and are wondering, what steps should we take? What would be your advice?
I think taking an approach like we did to consider everything and start small maybe and see what the appetite of the business is when it comes to your people and how likely they are to embrace something. Obviously, when you are talking about changing things, sometimes you might challenge the current norms, or you need to make sure that you educate and increase the awareness, but I would say allow people the time in order to do that. And I guess the most important part of our journey is to work with the specialists. I'm not an autism or a neurodiversity specialist at all. And hopefully through the work that we've been doing, I'm a bit more aware, but it's very important to listen to the specialists, listen to your people, and then together be able to make a change in your business. And when it comes to any initiative, when it comes to diversity and inclusion, any initiative that when it comes to people, it's not a project that has an end. I think it's something that you constantly need to look after. Things change, the things that we learn about neurodiversity change all the time, then our working environments change, so it's something that you should continuously keep developing.
Absolutely. And what's next for you here then? Any other plans around neurodiversity, or is it exactly as you've just mentioned, just to keep it moving?
No, there's loads of things that we are planning. We've done lots of work on autism, lots of work on dyslexia, but there's so many other elements of neurodiversity that we are not necessarily as aware of. We've got our people that, as I said, luckily some of our people are very brave and share their stories. I don't think they should be brave. I think it's really our workplaces that need to change so that those people shouldn't have to stand out, shouldn't have to be brave and make the, that important step of sharing their story. But it is very important that that happens. So we're very fortunate that a lot of our people are actually so active in taking action around neurodiversity. We have established our Disability and Neurodiversity Network, one of our employee networks, that is concentrating on making Autotrader welcoming a place where disabled and neurodiverse people can flourish and they can be the best that they can be. So there's so much work that we are doing, and then we're extending the work that we're doing for our colleagues to work that we're doing with our customers and making sure that our products are more inclusive and more accessible. So the network has two key objectives, both about our colleagues and our customers. So there's so much work that's been done in that area. And the very positive thing that's happening is the more we talk about it. So we did an event for Purple Tuesday, which focuses on making our businesses more accessible to disabled customers. And then for the International Day for Persons with Disabilities last week, as well. So the work that we've been doing, raising the awareness, brings more of our colleagues into the forefront of shaping and delivering that strategy. And the more people we get involved, the more ideas come up, and it becomes a bigger and better objective of the overall D&I strategy. So the work that the network is going to be delivering is quite exciting.
Wonderful. And You've mentioned that there is an article in the Financial Times that you've recently done, and also there's some other content online that's been created around the wonderful work that you've been doing.
There is, yes. So we try to share our work as much as possible, because I think it's really important to share all the things that went well, the other things that didn't go well. So we try to open our offices to our customers, open our offices to other employers in Manchester, in London, and around the UK, so that they can come and experience, and we talk to them about the changes that we have made. We try to promote the work of the National Autistic Society as much as possible, because it's a charity that does amazing work, and hopefully we can get more companies to collaborate with them. So I think it's important. So we try to sell all our social media, try to share our stories, hopefully inspire other companies to do the same.
Absolutely, you definitely are. And you know, I've been watching from a distance, and I'm really pleased to have had the opportunity to have met you a couple of times now and to hear the wonderful work you're doing here. So thank you so much. I'm going to continue to watch the great work that you're doing. Real pleasure to have you on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cheers, Christoph. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Neurodiversity at Work, available on all good podcast hosts. Please do sign up now, like, share, and comment. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you. Today's episode is sponsored by Udda. Udda is a HR tech consulting, advisory and services business. Their mission is to improve the HR tech industry for everyone. They work with vendors to help them build products that solve real-world problems, and they work with buyers to help them make better purchasing decisions. They are also advocates for neurodiversity at work.